One of the news that I watched last night was that the home for the aged in Atlantic have been covered with so much snow, and that is very tough. And I also watched some of the videos of those affected by Taal volcano eruption, and it's so tough kind of experience. And if you have come here this morning and stuck at the parking lot, well, that is one thing that we need to pray for our contractors, that they may be able to do their part properly, even as we would do our part also. And one reminder that if you come earlier, you will be able to park in the better area. So that is one thing to remind us, especially during snow, so that you will be able to park or not be stuck there. And anyway, not just in Canada, not just in the Philippines, but somewhere around the globe, people are trying to survive from natural and man-made disasters. Interestingly, there was this report. Mayroon pong isang mama na he requested a judge to grant him a trial by engaging in a sword fight with his ex-wife and her attorney. And he claimed that his ex-wife and her attorney have destroyed him legally. So there is no law yet in America where one could decide their fate by mag-eskrima. The last time this thing happened was in 1816 or somewhere in 18th century. And the couple has dispute over custody of their children, visitation rights to their children, as well as property tax payment. But the judge won't issue decision in a time soon, accordingly citing that irregularities on both sides of motions and responses. Well, it shows that that many people want to get justice. And wanting to get justice, this has become headlines that we may expect each time we open the news websites or watch TVs about anything. But when believers have disputes and go to court, though they ignore biblical principles, have you heard of seminaries taken to court by professors and students? Or have you heard about churches sued by members and or pastors? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, let's read it together. The very fact that you have lusts among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? Many times we cannot remember those phrases. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be cheated. We want justice. That's the human nature. In the first century Christianity, the city of Corinth could be considered, had been considered as the most progressive city because it is situated in where ships would dock. It's kind of like the center of trade at that time, if you would call New York as the center of trade in America, or Toronto in Canada, similar to that kind. And members of Corinthian church were the most liberal among Christian communities. It has been my prayer, I don't know when we would have the a series of sermons in 1 Corinthians, but God is not giving me that peace to take on that yet, maybe some few years later. Our message for today is the last of the second to the last of the series of sermons in the book of Genesis, and we will be the next book series that we will be having will be the book of Romans. Oh, well, this is a joke in the seminary. Oh, so what are you doing? Oh, we are having Bible study. So what are you studying? Studying the book of Romans. Yung mga joke ng seminary yan. Yan. Anyway, lawsuits among Christians then and now proves material priorities had overshadowed spiritual priorities among believers. The chase of justice, the fear of unfairness, the escape of discrimination, and restraint of maltreatment, including selfish motives and frustration of situation, these are some realities that may bring to light the real inclination of the human heart. It is easy to be deceived. People might believe that their motive is noble, but it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, let's read this. Heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Most likely, our spiritual growth will slow down when our human sinful nature controls our hearts and mind. Now, when we give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, whether it is good or this is not so favorable for us, it is an expression of our faith. Giving thanks to the Lord is the way we express our faith. And we trust that the Lord knows the best helpful situation available, or he had planned for us to grow deeper in our relationship with him. So when we are in a situation, stuck in the snow, for example, Lord, I thank you. Do you thank God when you're stuck in the snow? You remember what could be the life in Atlantic. You would remember what could be the life in next to Taal Volcano. And you will be thankful that you are in Canada. Unpleasant or undesirable situations should be opportunities to experience more of God's grace. Many times we ignore God's grace. Many people do not even know the meaning of grace. They hear that grace over and over again, but grace is free gift. Grace is nothing that we cannot, is something that we don't deserve or earn. That's grace. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let's read together. Let us then approach God's throne of God's grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of needs. It's not because we are able. It's not because that we can pay the Lord back. No. Grace is something that we cannot pay back. The grace of God. So when we are in trouble, when circumstances, things that we cannot control, out of our control, it is when we experience more of God's grace. This world teaches confidence in the self, confidence in the human effort. You can do that, you can do that. You need to do this, you need to do that. And rightly so, most people who seems to be materially successful, practically successful, they are the most confident in their effort. They are outgoing, extrovert, if you would. Can we, as believers, think otherwise? Instead of relying on self-confidence, we should place our confidence in Christ our Lord. So if you don't have any self-confidence, praise God. Why? Because you can have confidence in the Lord instead. We depend upon Him in everything, small or not so small or great. And He will transform our attitude for our betterment. It's really very tempting to have confidence on our effort. Why? Wow, nakaya ko yan. We also wish to be materially successful, practically successful, like others we envy. But when everything said, done, and tested by the Lord, will there be left for us to cherish in eternity? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, let's read this together. Work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Anything we do, anywhere, everywhere, ordinary or maybe special chores, they are opportunities to glorify the Lord. And you may spend precious time accumulating treasures, worldly treasures, but spare enough time to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The Lord's commands, these are designed to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. They are instructions how we may store up treasures in heaven. You may live 70 years, you may live 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 120 years. Everything will end eventually. We will all be in eternity someday. So ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to obey His command. Because only by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that our work can be counted treasure in heaven. Let's read again verse 12, 13, and 14. So Jacob's son did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land. I encourage you to read with me. I'm telling you, it is helpful for you to practice your verbal communication. Let's read together. So Jacob's son did as he commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had brought along with the field as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brother and all others who had gone with him to bury his father. Now let me tell you one story when we are having our Bible reading as a family. When our children were younger, some of them cannot understand the word that we were reading in the Bible. And some of them are crying because they just don't know how to read. But we keep on pushing them, because I know, is as we read, it's not only about the spiritual thing, it's also about the practical things where they could practice their, we can teach them how to pronounce one or the other. And many times, I don't know how to pronounce, my wife would teach us, and I also spend time looking at the dictionary, how we would pronounce word. And many among you, among us, Filipinos especially, do not know how to pronounce or how to verbalize the word testimony. Most of the time we say testimony, because that is how we understand that the, what we call that, you would rise on the third syllable, something like that. Syllable. But to tell you frankly, I am perhaps called to speak before people because I was a person who did not want to speak, especially English. I was good in writing. I suppose I'm not failing in my English classes. But to speak before people is not something that I would want. But when I say I encourage you to read, it's not for me, it's for you. Practically speaking, it's for you, because you will be able to speak without anybody paying attention to you, right? So anyway, the field of Machpelah, where they buried Jacob, was located, that was several miles south of Bethlehem. If you can imagine, this area is Jerusalem, a few kilometers is Bethlehem, and south of it is Machpelah. So maybe 5 or 10 kilometers somewhere there. And Jacob commanded that he wanted to be buried there. Jacob may have wanted to identify with Abraham. Indeed, he is often remembered when the Israelites told the story about their ancestors, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Say, and why is it, have you ever thought the greatest son of Jacob was Joseph? It should be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. But Joseph was not even mentioned. Why? Maybe because he was not buried there. I don't know. But anyway, Jacob's sons returned to Egypt after the burial, and they didn't extend their visit in Canaan because their children and their livestock were left in Egypt, and they got great life there. They stayed in the finest land of the land, finest land in Egypt, which is called Goshen. It's the best land, especially for their livestock. It's where the green pasture was. And they were also secured in Egypt. Now, many of those I've heard who came to Canada did not want the life in Canada because there are too much laws to be followed, like driving 60 kilometers per hour, and they want to speed up, but they cannot because they will be paying extra fine if they would. They would rather be in the Philippines than being here. Why? Because they can drive the way they want to drive in the Philippines without, they can easily babayaran yung mga kukuli sa kanila, parang ganun. But they do not understand how much they miss if they about life in Canada. And this is what happened to the Israelites who were in Egypt. They stayed in Egypt because they know they were secured. They were in the best place of the land. And perhaps Joseph provided them security so that no Egyptian, as long as Joseph was the ruler, no Egyptian or no foreigner would antagonize the Israelites. Well, when they went to Canaan, Pharaoh sent his army. And they made sure that Joseph and his brothers returned to Egypt safely. And that should remind us that by faith, we are also secured in Christ for all eternity. How about that? Can you say amen to that? Are you secured in your eternal life? Well, we are brothers and sisters of Christ, right? Did you know that our Lord sent angels to minister to all believers? Do you know about that? Well, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Let's read this together. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Now, if you think that you are saved, be sure that the Lord has sent angels for you to guide you in all your ways. These days, it is easy to find videos about near-missed accidents posted in the internet. Have you ever experienced near-missed accident? Kamuntik-muntikan ka ng madisgrasya. Nasubukan nyo na yun. Oh, buti na lang. Muntik kang magasgasan na. Actually, recently, I was driving at Inkster and the traffic was 60 kilometers per hour and ang daming sasakyan. But I am on the road wrong side. I was on the outer side of Inkster. And I need to go turn left at Hatching to come to church. And I was signaling to turn left, but they are not giving way or they are not slowing down because the traffic is so fast at 60. So when I estimated the one car, binuntutan ko yung next car, I estimated na biglang na enough space would be there. The same speed, all of us at 60 kilometers, bigla, 50 meters before I turn left, bigla akong sumingit. And I don't know what my family were thinking. Oh, my father must be crazy. I don't know. But maybe they were prayerful. But as I think about that, I cannot help but to thank the Lord. I believe He took control of situation so that the driver of the car I passed did not panic, just as the Lord made sure the road condition was good enough for brake control traction. Similar to that, right? Hindi niya inaasahan. Hindi niya inaasahan na wala sa isip niya. Wala sa isip niya na aalis. And then, if you were there, what would you think? Would you? For sure, you will praise the Lord. Now, it says in Psalm 91, verse 9 to 11, let's read this together meditatively. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. The first time I drive in the snow, back in 2010, I was driving a sedan, and I was stuck at the corner of Adsum in Jefferson because the traffic is slow. So if you are not moving and stop at mataas yung snow, may stuck ka talaga. E pagbaba ni Laika, I was trying to move slowly. Then suddenly, there was this huge person na uminom ng kape doon sa my shelf. Basta lang bigla, okay, put your steering wheel straight. And tinulak niya, ang bilis ng, ang lakas ng tao. Sabi ko, saan ang galing yun? Pagtingin ko, ganun lang siya. And those are the times when we do not expect that God would send His angels to minister to us. And if you think of those things, there will be full of thankfulness in your heart and praise Him, for God takes care of us. Amen. There are split moments of decision when we do not have that luxury of time to meditate and consider different options. Actually, I have a couple of near-missed accidents, and I really praise, I'm not trying to be a reckless driver, but I also had time na kahit hindi mo inaasahan, kahit you are going with the flow of the traffic, mayroon at mayroon kang pagkakataon, mayroon kang chance where you will be near accident. And especially when we are driving at high speed, we cannot think of things na ano bang dapat kong gawin. You cannot have that luxury of trying to choose which option that you are going to do. You just need to decide right there and then. And we may encounter unstable situation also that may scare us while driving and just doing ordinary chores. At one time, I was holding something, nahulog yung baso sa tabi ko. And alam ko na pag nahulog yun, dahil baso, ay mababasag. At that split moment, yung paa ko ang ginamit ko. Ayun, nasugatan ako. Nabasag yung vein and nadumugo. Anyway, something like that. But God may still allow undesirable situations. God, He will still use that. But the Lord be our refuge, and that we may seek protection from the Lord. So pray, continue to pray for wisdom. Continue to pray for wisdom to understand why God allows undesirable, unpleasant situation events to happen. And when we understand that, we cannot help but to thank the Lord for His grace. So it's time you shovel snow. Meron akong joke. Oh, it's so cold outside. The snow is so high. Kaya ako pinapawisan. People in the Philippines may not understand bakit it's so cold and you are sweating. Dahil nagpalaka pala. Ano? But anyway, it's good to sweat when it's snowing, right? It's good for the health. Now, if you have any fear, if you have any bothersome situation, consider the fear of the brothers of Joseph after Jacob was buried. Let's read again verse 15 to 17. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph hold a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong things we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left this instruction before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father." When their message came to Joseph, came to him, Joseph wept. Now think about that. It was not mentioned if Jacob gave that instruction. Maybe they just coined out, they just come upon that plan. Or it may be true. We don't know. It was not very significant that it was mentioned. But what is significant, Joseph wept when they told him that. The brothers of Joseph were so scared, he sensed that. And that being scared of their brothers, they were living in Egypt for 17 years, and they did not have any chance to see if Joseph was really angry with them, because Joseph had been providing for their need. But when Jacob was buried and he died, this uncovered their unforgiving spirit. The reason they suspect that Joseph would hold grudge against them is because they do not know how to forgive. Well, Joseph was their father's favorite son, and Jacob made a beautiful robe for him, and his brothers were envious. So what they did, they felt neglected by Jacob. Subsequently, their envy, a fair share of attention from their father, made them cruel to Joseph. Joseph did nothing to them, but they were so cruel to him because of envy. And they were unified by their hatred against Joseph. And they conspired to harm him, sold him as a slave eventually. But circumstances turned upside down. Joseph became powerful ruler of Egypt, where they relocated. The very person that they hated, that they were cruel, that they sold, was the one who saved them. So they thought, now Joseph may retaliate for his hardship. Why did they think about that? Because that is how they think. They would retaliate if they were given a chance. So they considered to seek forgiveness from Joseph, and Joseph wept. Why? Because they did not sense his loving care for them. He'd been showing them his love. He'd been providing for their needs for 17 years. He situated them in the best land of Egypt, or perhaps best land in the entire world at that time, because there was famine. And yet they didn't see that it was an action of love and care. And sometimes we also feel bad, because we may not say, I love you, but you can say our action is just that good, and you suspect we don't love you, something like that. You want to be, have, you would like to have that thumbs up always in your Facebook. Oh, hindi man lang nag-thumbs up sa akin, hit niya ako pag nag-post ng update, right? Meron ba kayong feeling na ganun? Nagagalit kayo dahil hindi nag-thumbs up yung kakilala nyo sa Facebook nyo? Yun, galit sila. Just kidding. Joseph was sacrificed for the betterment of the Israelites. And that was a picture of Christ, who was sacrificed for our betterment. When the brothers of Joseph asked for forgiveness from Joseph, they affirmed that Joseph did not have any grudge against them. He did not hate them. Similarly, when we confess our sins, we confirm our faith that God will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. God forgives the repentant person. Let's read this together and meditate upon it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, many people are confused when it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But it says here, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He had already forgiven us even before we have asked forgiveness, right? No, it says will forgive. He forgives us after we confess. Think about that. He has forgiven, of course, our sin in the future. But we need to confess. We need to agree. Confessing is agreeing that we committed wrong thing. But if we do not confess, we say, we have done a wrong thing. That's okay with me. I hope it's okay with you. Something like that. Instead, I've done wrong thing. I hated it. That is something that says the truth is in us. So think about that. It says if we confess, He will forgive. He will. Not He had. It did not say He had already forgiven us. It's not past tense. It is future tense, right? So if we confess, He will forgive. He does not only forgive, He will purify us from all unrighteousness. Meaning the effect, the blame games, the faults, the guilt feelings, He will purify us from those unrighteousness if we confess. Is it easy to readily accept when you are at fault? Oh, ikaw may kasalan? Hindi ah. Yung pagsinabing, oh, ikaw may kasalanan? Oh, oo nga, no. Do you readily say that, accept that you are at fault? Or do you blame others? Have you encountered people? They don't want to come to church services. Why? Oh, there are a lot of hypocrites there. I don't want to be to join you. There are a lot of agree or not agree, there will always be hypocrites in the church. Well, did the Lord command us to get rid of the hypocrites of the church before we can invite others? No. There's no command like that. Actually, the Lord Jesus gave a parable about the wheat in the tare. You know what wheat in tare is? The Lord Jesus compared the kingdom of God to good seed, and He said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30. Let's read. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, and while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weed also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, did you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weed come from?" Verse 28, "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "but while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" That's the parable of wheat and tare. Can you go, Luis, go Google? Ilagay mo sa image, wheat and tare. And you will be surprised that wheat and tare are almost the same. Almost. They look the same. Ayan. Ang wheat nasa left and nasa right ay tare. That's so you just cannot see. If your eyes are weak, you cannot recognize. You are not good to recognize. You do not know which one is wheat, which one is tare. All right? Now, similarly, in the church, in the kingdom of God, there are genuine Christians and there are fake Christians. And you may see Christians who are doing the same thing. Both give tithes, both do their service, even pastors. They both preach the gospel. And you cannot recognize which one is which. Anyway, we expect Christ's return. He will be back. And we believe that he will test the quality of whatever we have done. If done by faith in him, we will be rewarded. God takes notes of those who practice his faith in him and those who pretend to have faith. Who do you want to please? If you are thinking of trying to impress people, you are in danger. But if you are thinking of trying to please the Lord, then that's great for you. Many people would serve because they want to show off. Take note of that. Don't waste your effort. Don't waste. The brothers of Joseph pretended to have faith in him. For 17 years, they lived in Goshen. There was nothing said, written, recorded of what they did. It means that they lived ordinary life. They did not cause any trouble. They just lived accordingly. But when their father Jacob died and was buried, they sought forgiveness. Why ask for forgiveness? Because they did not completely believe that Joseph had forgiven them. They conceded that they deserved to be Joseph's slave. Why? Because that was what they did to Joseph. But Joseph was very kind to them. Let's read again verse 18 to 20. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Now, that is something to remember. When your company kick you out of the company, praise them, because you are not stuck in that company. Instead, God might have been preparing you something better than you. I can tell you a lot of stories about that, but let's go back to our passage. Joseph's brother sold him as a slave because they just can do anything they wanted to do. Joseph was 17 years old, young, lanky, slim, and not so strong, not have belt muscle yet at that time. So two or three of them can hold them, and he just cannot escape from their grasp. And they just did what they did. They almost killed him, but decided to sell him as slave eventually. And they conceded that what they did to Joseph, they deserved similar treatment, similar ordeal for their attitude toward Joseph. But Joseph, he exemplified a lifestyle of believers in the Lord. This is a lifestyle that we want to imitate. Explain that these adversities, these are parts of the Lord's plan to accomplish his purposes of saving lives. And not just this, it was not just exclusive for the Israelites. It was also for the saving of the lives of the Egyptians and other people in the world who came and bought grains from Joseph. It could be that adversities, things that we experience, unpleasant, unfavorable, it could be that this situation God is molding your character to persevere. Brother Jay mentioned about perseverance a while back when he was praying. And that perseverance would build the character. In that character would grow, our hope would grow that Jesus would come back. That's our faith. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Now, the plan of the Lord for us is for us to be conformed into the image of Christ. The Lord's plan for believers is to have this lifestyle in conformity to the life that Christ exemplified on earth. The Lord did not promise us to have a life free of adversities, free of trouble, but in all circumstances, by faith, we give thanks to God in Christ because of that hope that in all things God works for the good of those, not for everybody, of those who love Him. Faith is practically exemplified in our grateful attitude, whatever circumstance we face. We can thank the Lord, whatever we are in now, pleasant or unpleasant, favorable or unfavorable situation, and we thank God. That is an expression of our faith in the Lord. What favorable situation have you encountered recently? Well, you may have relatives affected by the eruption of that Taal volcano. You may have friends who have been diagnosed with terminal illness. You feel bad that you just cannot do enough to help them. There is unending adversities on earth, and our attitude will determine if we accept that adversities or unpleasant situations are part of God's plan. Now, yesterday we had a basketball game and we lost again. Well, last Sunday, it says that it is better to be frustrated because if we win, we cannot learn, right? If we lost, we might be thinking, oh, we might do better sometime. And maybe we can be more prayerful. Well, there was this basketball player. His name is Markel Fultz. Have you heard of him? He was the number one draftee by the 76ers, I think. And before he even played the game, he had surgeries after surgeries and after surgeries. And 76ers, Philadelphia 76ers are struggling team at the time. And they expected this number one draftee to help them. And the player also desired to prove that he is worth the money. If you are number one draftee, you will be receiving more than $5 million annually in your first year. So he tried to prove that he is worth the money. He is worth the number one draftee. But the said player, he had just cannot escape that injury that needed required medical attention and rehabilitation for several months. And perhaps the 76ers were frustrated. And after the doctor gave their go signal to play the game, he did his best. But his quickness and shooting style did not result as expected greatness. So sabi nila, oh, he's a bust, something like that. So many writers would say, oh, he's not really that great as expected. But after another year of not being able to help the team, he was traded to another team, I think, Orlando Magic. And Orlando Magic was great with him. They gave him good treatment. They waited for him. He did not play many games for more than a year. And during the rehabilitation, his team did not rush to expect him to produce good results immediately. And they were patient, waiting for him for his game to progress. And recently, ang kalaban nila, ang isa sa mga pinakamagaling sa West, I guess, Los Angeles Lakers were the LeBron in the best basketball player on earth, accordingly, is with tinalo nila. And he has also triple double, if you understand that word. And observers were very quick to comment on his team. Wow, I think the Orlando Magic did a good decision in trading for that player. But the player reflected on his ordeal. And he was thankful that another team put their faith in him. Well, the Lord expected us to conform in the image of Christ. But it cannot be done overnight. Cannot be done overnight. It's not because you are a member of the church. You can be very, say, perfect Christian. Each of us will always have mistakes, because as we grow and progress in our faith in the Lord, we progress in our spiritual life. We've got to grow in our faith in Christ. So if we sense that we are slowing down, we've got to pray, Lord, increase my faith. We've got to learn how to submit to Christ as our Lord. Many among us do not even understand the term Lord, as if Lord is like a sir or boss, kind of like. But being Lord, He is the owner of our life. If He is the owner of our life, He provides for us. That's the Lord that I know. He gives me wisdom. He gives me the right decision. That's my Lord. How about you? How do you view Christ as your Lord? Do you ask Him even for small things? Christ as Lord should be in control of every aspect of our life, even intellect, our emotion, our action, even our word. Like I've been telling you, I hate to speak before people, standing before people. I'm scared. But how can I do that? I tell you, it's by God's grace. I've been saying it. Remembering the time, I told my wife, you'll never see me standing behind that pulpit. But it's time I stand behind the pulpit. I remember, I know it's not me who placed me here. Speaking English, I hate speaking English. And now I'm speaking English. If you have a record of my first sermon here, you would find out there is some kind of progress. That's God's grace in my life. How about you? Can you testify of God's grace in your life? How do you see God has prospered you in your spiritual life? Now, the thing that you are scared of, that is the thing that God would like to reveal that more of His grace, so that we won't be scared and feel bad of adversities that we encounter. I'm so scared of standing behind a pulpit, but God put me here and I know it's Him. I'm so slow. I'm so slow in my tongue. I'm not eloquent, but God enabled me to speak and explain His word. That's God's grace for me. Yung mga kinakatakutan ko na pangyayari, ayon ang nangyayari. And that is where we can see more of God's grace. Think about that. Ano po yung kinakatakutan niyo sa buhay? What is it that you are scared of in life? Are you scared that you will be laid off? Praise God for that. Are you scared that you might have accident? Praise God for that. Are you scared that of what may happen to your children or grandchildren? Praise God for that. And God would show His more of His grace in that area. Most often, when we do things on our own human effort, we become Lord of ourselves. Kung tayong nagde-decide on our own, we are the Lord of ourselves. In Christ is relegated. Siya po ay nasa tabi lang. Diyan ka lang, Lord. Dito ako. It's kind of like, ikaw ang passenger, ako driver. Right? Turn left, sabihin mo lang sa akin, Lord, kung turn left. Turn right, sabihin mo lang sa akin kung turn right. Basta akong driver, okay? We indirectly treat Christ as consultant. We consult Him when we have difficulty. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, let's read this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Now, to submit to Christ as Lord is to constantly seek His help. Constant, unceasing. I'm not saying that every second you would ask God. No, every time you remember God, you ask Him, ask for wisdom, to ask Him to increase your faith. Do you even seek His help to remind you to seek His help? Do you pray, Lord, kindly remind me to ask you to remind me to pray? I pray. That's my prayer every night. Lord, thank you for reminding me to pray. And thank you for all the good things you have done in my life. And I pray that you would continue to remind me to pray and thank you. I keep praying for that, and He's been faithful. Don't think that He will be insulted because He knew that we are very limited and we can easily forget things. He, the Lord, is the grace of God. Do not control the grace of God, because the grace of God can do things beyond our understanding. We are forgetful, especially when we are confused, or even when we are excited. Many times when we are excited, we commit mistakes because we forget. You go to the video, go to YouTube, and go to fail video. People are no, don't go. In your time, people are just jumping, and then suddenly they are in accident, because that's human nature. Kung kailan tayo masaya, we forget things, we forget our situation. Like somebody has been so happy that he caught a big fishing, and then because of that excitement, he forget that he was in the boat and then fell down the boat. There's also this video where there were five children, one in the middle and two, and they agreed to jump off the water, and then counted 1, 2, 3, everyone ran, and the one in the middle stopped, and everyone jumped. And he was laughing because naisahan ko, atras siya ng atras, bumagsak din siya sa kabila. Something like that. She thought that naisahan niya yung mga kasama niya, but in the end, she also fell down on the water. But anyway, those are times when we are not thinking enough. Do you believe that Christ would like to remind us to seek His help? To remind us. Christ loves us so much that He cares for our need. Shall we stand up and read meditatively Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16? Let's read together. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's bow down our heads and think of that adversity, unfavorable situation we just hate to happen in our life. Now, maybe recently, or maybe in the past that you were trying to escape from. Past that you want to forget, but keep coming. Have you imagined that situation? Say, thank the Lord for that. Lord, thank you for my adversity. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you for this situation that I'm scared of. I know it's not easy for me to accept, but I ask you, Lord, to increase my faith, to believe that you have greater plan than I could imagine.